March 17th, 2007, you're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 73.
Here comes Speed Racer, he's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone. He's gaining on you, so you better look alive. He's busy revving up the powerful Mach 5. And when the odds are against him and there's dangerous work to do, you bet your life, Speed Racer, you'll see it through. Go, Speed Racer, go, Speed Racer, go, Speed Racer, go. He's up and flying as he guns a car around the track. He's jamming down the pedal like he's never coming back. Adventure's waiting just ahead. Go, Speed Racer, go, Speed Racer, go, Speed Racer, go.
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Yes, suit!
How many times?
Well, three for fellowship, two for towers, four for return.
Five for return.
Dude. All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
Oh, what the fuck happened to this world?
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
You know what? Maybe we should start calling your friend Padme, because he loves Mannequin Skywalker so much, right? Danger, danger. My name is Anakin. My shitty acting is ruining saga.
Yeah, you're crazy, Jar Jar.
Oh, I'm crazy?
I was at work today, and I thought of the coolest idea. I'm gonna start my own internet. It's awesome. I'll tell you why. Because first of all, the regular internet is too crowded. Second, my internet will be for people who might not have computers, and will mail you your email through your regular mail.
Eric, I don't think it works that way.
Oh, you know so much about the internet?
I'm sorry, you know, you're right. Don't listen to me.
No, you know what? You probably are right, because you're so smart. I'm so stupid, I probably can't even keep a phone from hanging up!
Dear diary, mood, apathetic. My life is spiraling downward. I couldn't get enough money to go to the Blood Red Romance and Suffocate Me Dry concert. It sucks because they play some of my favorite songs, like Stab My Heart Because I Love You, and Rip Apart My Soul, and of course, Stab You Rip Stab Stab. And it doesn't help that I couldn't get my hair to that flippy thing either, like that guy from that band can do. Some days, you know.
I'm an emo kid, non-conforming as can be. You'd be non-conforming too if you look just like me. I have paint on my nails and makeup on my face. I'm almost emo enough.
Hey, I'm a firm believer in the philosophy of a ruling class, especially since I rule.
Hey everybody, it's me, the J-Shroom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Welcome to the show, everyone. It's episode 73, and we're here to talk about television and all of our favorite things that we love and adore, like film, just silly things, pop culture, all that stuff. Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot, you're usually here to talk about this stuff with me, right?
Yes.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing fine.
Doing fantastic.
Had a good adventures this week. Some pop culture stuff.
Nice. It was a pop culture dig. You're an archaeologist, isn't it?
Yes. A little Hall of Fame action.
Nice. Where'd you go?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Sweet. The Football Hall of Fame.
Nice. NFL Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Wow.
Nothing like looking at bronze busts of football players.
Is it like in the Jedi archives, the library, how they bronze busts of old Jedi? Sweet, I like that. Who was that who just talked, by the way? Who was that? That was Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
Yes, hello.
In your historical library, do you have bronze busts of all of us there?
No, but I do have bronze busts of best ass.
Bronze busts of busts.
Yeah.
Bronze ass.
Yes.
So how were those places? Are they just kind of lame tourist things, or are they pretty cool?
I enjoyed the rock and roll one. The football one.
Hall of Fame is a lame tourist attraction.
Yeah, that one's kind of lame. But if you're into the football stuff, you know, it's probably kind of neat to see some. Because, I mean, it does go back to the 100-year-old footballs and stuff that, you know, like.
Yeah. look, ancient pigskin.
Did you see Joe Namath there? Was he anywhere around the place?
Maybe he was hanging out at the front.
Maybe drunk off his ass.
Mm-hmm. He was struggling.
Did you see Drew Carey at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I figured
he wasn't hanging out in Cleveland.
Ah, too bad. Did you go to like a live performance of Whose Line Is It Anyway? Anything like that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. They didn't have anything going on.
Can you tell I'm completely out of touch of what's around Cleveland? All I know is Howard the Duck took place there. Because he keeps
Pretty much its only claim to fame at this point.
Hey, Howard the Duck.
Come to Cleveland. Howard the Duck was based here.
Yeah. It's like, this isn't too impressive. I'm sure there's things. Anyone who's there, just let us know what's great about the city. The Browns?
No.
Not so much. The Cavaliers?
The fact that they're called the Mistake on the Lake?
Yeah. Cavaliers.
Like I said, the best thing probably about the town? Probably the Hall of Fame. The Rock and Roll.
It's a real dump.
Don't they have White Castles around there? Did you see any?
Yeah, saw a lot of White Castles.
Yeah, there are.
But you didn't stop and get any?
Didn't stop at one, no.
They have chicken White Castles.
We actually ate at decent restaurants.
Where'd you eat at? Anything, Tony Roma's, something
like
that?
We ate at some place called Bonefish.
Bonefish. Ooh, that's not a good advertisement.
Is that kind of like fish bone?
Don't choke on this or... Okay, guys, here's what something that kind of sucks is Vanessa is not here, and it's her birthday, and we had a big birthday thing planned. We're going to wish her happy birthday. We had this all ready to go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday
big
to you.
Big cake and candles.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
You know, we had a nice glass table. Jake Ryan's here. They're going to sit Indian style and the blotter candles. Ryan. But none of that's going to happen now because she's nowhere to be found. Apparently, she went on some kind of birthday bender or something. I don't know where she is.
She pops her head up every once in a while and then goes back in her hole.
I'm just kind of afraid that she did a Richard Jenny. And in case you guys don't know, what happened to Richard Jenny is apparently he decided to no longer live in this world, I guess.
He couldn't handle being the platypus man anymore.
Well, I'd heard, and I don't know if it's true or not, but somebody said he had like an illness that was killing him. Like,
yeah, he really just had clinical depression with bouts of paranoia.
Yeah,
well, that was killing him.
Yeah.
Mood disorder with paranoia, that never helps. Like,
no, not whenever you have paranoia also. That's horrible. Because his family issued a statement saying what he suffered from was depression and paranoia.
Well, that's a shame. You know, they say comedians are like the saddest people internally that there are, you know. But after I release a show, I slip into a depression. It's over until next weekend.
But then,
we're doing the show again. Why am I all sad now? It's awesome. We've had
Then you just say knives and stabbing weapons.
Yes, exactly. Keep them away from me because I get depressed after the show. Now, guys, we got some voicemail. You guys want to check it out? You guys want to see what's going on with the voicemail?
Yes.
Let's check it out.
Hi, Mulberry people. Just wanted to do a shout-out to Andy and tell him, sorry about the elephant tranquilizers comment. I was stuck in traffic during the Oscar show podcast, and somewhere in the second hour of that, I was arriving at the conclusion from his somewhat slow and deliberative way he was engaging in witty badinage with you fellas that he might have been.
Remember, we were watching the Oscars.
But, that is not the case. And I actually sought out the Hollywood Saloon podcast and now put it on my daily feed of things to download and listen while I'm driving.
Oh,
so
cool.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
No problem, Mystery Man. I'm sure he didn't take an offense to that. And, yeah,
we were completely
distracted during that show because we're watching TV and reading closed captioning while we're talking.
Yeah, I think we all had closed captioning on, and it was just really distracting.
Actually, I was on hyena tranquilizers that night, so just so you guys know. I love that Meerkat Manor. Now, that's a good show.
Oh, my God.
With Samwise Gamgee. He narrates it. It's awesome.
Yeah. I have only watched that twice in my life.
Okay, well, we got another voicemail. Let's check it out.
Holy shit. Oh, no.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Oh.
See, giant a la Marilyn.
I guess so.
I'm just completely freaked out at this point.
Alert the FBI. Hello?
Birthday. Vanessa Mulberry, new lady.
Good Lord.
Happy birthday.
Oh, please make it stop.
I love you, sweetie.
Oh,
call me.
Wow. Oh,
the kisses too.
He's making out with the phone.
That's just vulgar.
Oh man, I kind of feel yucky and dirty now.
Yeah, I think. Oh,
it was.
I need to go
Marilyn Monroe
in the bathroom.
Yikes! Well, too bad Vanessa's not around because she would have really loved that Eugene.
Well, she would have ate that up.
Oh yeah, she loves
maybe
that kind of stuff.
Maybe she's with Eugene.
Oh my God! All right, let's go ahead and get into the entertainment. What do you say? Entertainment! All right, guys, before we slip into the TiVo, I want to talk about the fact that 300 made a lot of money. That's pretty awesome. You know, I don't get too worked up about a box office take or whatever, but it is cool when a movie you like does really well. And what does that mean, Bill? That means that most likely Zack Snyder, the director of 300, can do whatever he wants now, right?
Yeah, he's basically written his own paycheck at this point, so they'll let him do whatever he wants to do.
And he wants to do Watchmen, based on the Alan Moore graphic novel.
I really, really wish he wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, even though I have never read The Watchmen, I know I'm going to, trust me. I've always wanted to. I remember when the thing was coming out and I'd see the issues, monthly issues, like, what is this? And I was a little punk-ass kid.
But Who watches The Watchmen?
Because everyone, it's like the freaking holy Bible of comic books. Everyone talks about it. That's why so many people say, I don't think it can be made now. And one reason, Bill, you've read it, right?
Yeah, it's just really hard to. The story is just so multi-layered, and it's metafiction, so the entire thing is narrated, and it goes back and forth in time to kind of like show what happened with these different superhumans. And
well, here's another negative against it, is I've heard that a lot of things have been influenced by The Watchmen
and have
stolen from it. So now when we watch, say we were to watch a movie of The Watchmen, we'd be like, oh, that was done in this. But in reality, they stole it from The Watchmen.
Oh, I'm sure.
Unless
you know, it's just like all these irritating critics calling 300, you know, a video game. Like that's some sort of demeaning thing to say about it.
It's a video game version of Braveheart is what it is.
The Watchmen, we'll just have to see, but just the story is so
dense,
multi-layered, and I mean, it's just, I don't see it happening. I don't see how they can faithfully remake it and stick to the comic book story.
I would almost, okay, Zack Snyder,
a gigantic trilogy like the Lord of the Rings type thing.
Yeah, that would work, Steven, like Lord of the Rings kind of a thing, or HBO series.
It's not that kind of like action packed comic. It's more of a political message, right, kind of thing about who controls, basically, you know, the catchphrase was, who watches the watchman,
right?
Make sure these superhuman people are not doing bad things or are not insane or not, you know, and it raises a lot of ethical questions and political questions, and it's just not what people would expect from a comic book movie,
right?
So I don't understand how or why they're really doing this.
But something like 300, which is a very simple, linear kind of short story,
mm-hmm.
and then this, where it's like gigantic, it's like phone some book of information there.
Yeah.
Be interested to see how he handles it. The guy's promising young talent. I can't wait to see what he does next. Now, another film that's coming up that I'm really excited about is called Knocked Up with Katherine Heigl.
And is that they're already calling the Gen X Big Chill.
Oh, God, don't label things. Why do they that? It makes you not want to watch something.
I saw that the other day. I logged on, and on my my new page on the news is like, is Knocked Up the new Big Chill?
Oh, great. It has nothing to do with the Big Chill. It's not even the same thing. The Big Chill was like people getting together after some
coming
guy died or whatever.
Yeah, it's all the
their friend died and they all get together and they start.
But that's what they're saying. Knocked Up is like the coming of age movie of our, or, you know, the Gen X generation.
What I like about it is I love what's his face,
Judd Apatow.
Yeah, we got Judd Apatow. He did Freaks and Geeks,
and didn't he do Undeclared too?
Yeah, Undeclared. One of my favorite shows. It's on DVD now.
I still can't believe you've never seen Freaks and Geeks. Like, this week I was down in my library, and I pulled down my special edition of Freaks and Geeks, which is like a yearbook. And I was just going through it, and I put one of the DVDs in, and it was just such a terrific show.
Now, I have seen episodes of it. Now, I haven't seen the whole series. But I love that guy's sense of humor, and I love the 40-year-old virgin also. That's why I'm excited about this. I can't wait till that comes out. That's my next, like, must-see film that comes out.
Yeah, and Katherine Heigl is really hot.
Yes, she is. And she's on Grey's Anatomy, but I've never watched that show.
Yeah, she's really irritating on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I mean, they say this is her breakout film, Knocked Up. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
You know what one of my main things is?
I hate that breakout.
The
only thing that's going to break her out is if she flashes those tatas.
You know what I hate in films is when someone's pregnant, you know, they have the pregnant gear, the big belly.
Yeah.
They always show that big, gigantic belly button popped out. And I've been around, I've had sisters who've been pregnant. My wife's had a child. I've seen women pregnant. They don't have that gigantic freaking like ball right there of a belly button.
Yeah.
And they always exaggerate that in film. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
They do.
It's ridiculous. Let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVos. Oh, yeah. Now, before we get into our main shows, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the Trump, the Donald, was on WWE Raw.
Now, what is that? SmackDown.
World Wrestling Entertainment. Yeah, he was on the wrestling show, the Wrestling.
The Raw SmackDown Survivor Series.
And what the hell is that about? And it was just embarrassing. Let's check it out real quick.
You want some? You want some? Come on up here. Come on up, Vince.
Uh-oh.
You want some?
Uh-oh.
Get in the ring, Vince. Get in the ring.
I've got a team of lawyers that will kick your ass.
Those are the same guys commenting that have since I was a child been watching wrestling.
Oh my God! Mr. McMahon just got shoved on his billionaire butt!
Oh, Okay, so basically...
Good Lord, is that shit ridiculous.
I know.
What the fuck is wrong with you people that you watch that garbage?
I went to WWE last night, and Trump is there. He kicked his ass. He kicked Vince McMahon's ass.
They're trying to get all the WWE people to watch The Apprentice.
Yeah.
You know what's
funny, though? Is that when I was a kid, you know, I never really liked wrestling, but I watched it because one of my best friends really liked it. So, you know, I could swallow most of that stuff because I was a kid, you know, the overacting and everything.
Right.
But as you grow older and you, like, catch little bits of it, it's really never changed. And it's just so incredibly unwatchable.
It is. It's
horrible. I don't understand how so many people can... like it.
There are adults who like it, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, there's guys that go there...
Isn't it for 10 to 15-year-olds, seriously?
Yeah,
but there's guys in their, like, 30s and 40s that, like, travel with the WWE. I just do not understand the appeal.
It's
not entertaining to me because it's just so fake and the acting is so horrible.
What I got into was GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Now, that was shit.
Who didn't?
You see these women, like the farmer's daughter. You'd always see some nice ass there, you know? So bad. But anyway, Trump was on Raw for some reason. Now, we also had another guest star on
I think they're actually doing some sort of hair bet. Like, if this one wrestler wins against Vince McMahon's wrestler,
Vince McMahon has to shave his head.
And if, you know, the other way around, Donald Trump has to shave his head. And I'm sure he will, yeah.
Now, another thing, Bill, is on The View, Roseanne Barr showed up. Let's check it out.
But now I'm just not going to put it in everybody's face. I'm going to go, I'm old. And, you know, you get to do a lot of cool things when you're old.
Yeah, give me some.
Well, you get a fart in public.
Yeah, that's true.
People are like, isn't that cute?
Yeah. At 42, it's not that cute.
No. And you get a bitch all the time and say exactly what you think. And I'm coming into the age where I do want to say what I think all the time. And I think people ought to listen because I have every single answer there is. The ones you ain't got, I got. The ones you ain't got, I got too.
Shut the hell up.
So I think they should be out there instead of the same loop of meaningless crap that we're subjected to day in, day out.
There you go, sister friend.
Oh, my God. You know what's even worse than her voice? Rosie going, there you go, sister friend.
Jesus Christ. How can anyone sit through that shit?
My brain hurts after that.
That, for me, is exactly the same as the WWE. Who can watch that shit?
I don't know. And here's another. Bill, have you guys ever watched Real World on MTV?
You know, the last time I watched it, I think, was Real World Seattle, which was like 10 years ago.
I think they've done every state now on there. Like,
I saw some of Hawaii and then some of Seattle.
Real World.
And there are always these, like, these slutty girls that are sexually confused.
Yeah.
And
they always have the gay guy. They always have the lesbian or the bi-curious. But they also, they like to trick it up. They like to have the angry black guy.
Oh, yeah, I love the militant black guys.
For instance, this guy, he kind of goes nuts on his girlfriend, and he kind of gets violent, like jerking her by the arm and stuff, not letting her get away. Let's check it out. It's very frightening.
Listen to me for 5 seconds. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. 5 seconds.
Don't scream at me.
I'm not screaming at you. No. You're yelling at me, screaming at me for 8 hours. Just listen to me.
You scare me when you scream at me. Ow! Stop!
Listen.
God.
Do that!
Just
Jesus. Jesus Christ.
Guess what? She doesn't have to listen. She can leave if she wants.
Why can't he just say what he needs to say instead of going, listen, I told you, I want you to listen.
If he said what you were going to say, it would be done by now.
When you tell someone, calm down, he goes, I am calm.
Yep.
At that point, it's time to bust out the taser.
Did the producers barge in from their secluded room in the bottom of the house?
I have no idea.
Like, this isn't allowed. You're not allowed to touch the other person unless it's sexual.
Reality TV, it gets more shocking than this, Bill, because Janice Dickinson, she didn't show up to the little finale thing because something had happened. Let's check it out.
I thought it was really important to tell the models what happened to my mom before we went into the casting. I didn't want them showing up and freaking out because my mom wasn't there.
Okay, Nathan has something very important to say.
All right, so last night on the way back from Catalina, there was, a car accident. And my mom got kind of hurt. Not kind of, she got hurt. They slammed the brakes on the car, and she broke the windshield with her head.
Jesus.
Well, she was probably so hopped up on crack that she didn't even realize it.
Do you like the her own show cares so much about her that they add that dramatic music?
Yes. They exploit her injury.
Yeah, my mom, she nearly died in a car accident.
We couldn't postpone the end of the show for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I love that. That is terrific. Boom, boom. Anytime we say anything dramatic, you should play that.
I like it. My mom kind of, well, she kind of got... What kind of? Well, she got into a car wreck.
Well, not kind of. She did get hurt.
She kind of got hurt. I mean, well, she got hurt. Did she
Are
kinda?
You freaking retarded?
Yeah.
Did your mother do drugs while you were in the
Yes.
world?
Yes. I'm thinking
is that is it that obvious?
No, she starved herself being a model. She gained the 2 pounds, you know.
You know what that is? That's his mom banging on a door downstairs.
That's his mom's head going through the windshield.
Yeah. American Idol, Bill. Are you still watching this show?
Oh, God. Yeah, I am. And it's only because it's in high def. And, and because it's live.
Now, there was this kind of weird exchange between Ryan Seacrest and Simon here. It's kind of a lot of homo innuendo. Let's check it out.
What do you consider the hardest part of this contest?
Wow. I would have to say the high heels and these dresses. I don't...
Simon, any advice on the high heels?
You should know, Ryan.
Stay out of my closet.
Come out.
This is about the top 12, okay? Not your wishes.
So, okay, Bill, you've been watching American Idol enough. Let me ask you this question. Is Ryan Seacrest, does he smoke pole?
Yeah, he does.
Okay, well, good to know. That's all I wanted to know.
Sure, it's hilarious. There's a couple really tall girls on the show, and he's tiny. He's just this tiny little man. What was his
name? Stay out of my closet.
Was that exchange set up, you know, prior to the show as, like, kind of like a comedy break or something, get like on Extra and Entertainment Tonight and all that?
Yeah,
so that
it's a soundbite, basically.
Yeah.
Because just to get people to watch
planned.
The show who were...
Because if that was real, wouldn't afterwards, like, they be arguing after the show? I don't know.
You want some? You want some? Come on up here. Come on up. Let's go.
Yeah, they would have been saying that. Let's go, Simon.
Wrong scripted show.
Yeah.
But yeah, it had to have been, because just the setups were too perfect.
Stay out of my closet.
And I like when he says, come out of your closet. That was good.
Yeah,
And they should have had some dramatic music when he said that.
Dun. Yes.
And it gets real quiet, like, everyone knows he's a closeted homo. That's so poor taste. Okay, let's talk about The Apprentice quickly. Now, on The Apprentice, that dude with the weird puffy hair and the soul patch... He got fired. Let's check it out.
I happen to think you're going to be a very successful guy. But for now, Surya, you're fired.
Surya.
Aw,
poor guy.
5-2, yeah. Mr. Trump.
Wow.
One more. That's so dramatic.
This whole time he's just staring at him.
That would be hilarious. If he just stayed in the boardroom and they stared at each other and...
Holy shit! God damn it. Blew my ears out. Thanks a lot, Foggy.
Oh, that was great.
Now, there were some new shows this week before we get into an incredible Smallville. Let's talk about this.
Oh.
First of all, we had Andy Barker. This week, we had Reigns, the new Jeff Goldblum dramatic series, and we also had October Road on ABC. Now, I watched all three of the shows, and I'll say
I watched two of three.
Andy Barker, likey.
I liked it.
And it only gets better. You know, I watched the first six episodes on NBC.com, and the pilot, the first episode, is the least funny of them because it's just setting up the entire premise
right.
for the episode.
And, you know, I love the tone of the show, the sense of humor. They had some really good moments. I love the Miss Congeniality doll. But I love this part here when he goes to pick up his meeting and they're in a high-speed chase while he's trying to do his taxes. Let's check this out.
Oh, hey, Ron.
I was just heading up to get ready for our meeting.
Oh, you know what? Change of plans. Hop in.
Okay.
Ron, this is Nikolai and Simon. Ron manufactures pallets, and Nikolai's on the run from the Russian mine.
Yeah, that's the problem. See, my daughter's tuition is due, and I really need to...
Okay, here's what we do. We split the IRA into two funds. The smaller one pays for college over the next 5 years till you're 59 and a half. You still have to pay tax. There's no penalty!
Here's the thing with a show like this. It's really goofy, but I hope it finds that audience like Scrubs did, where Scrubs can be ridiculous,
right?
But it gets a loyal audience. I hope it gets time to get a loyal audience so it keeps going.
See, that's one I think it will, because NBC is doing the right job in promoting it. They're promoting it as kind of lighthearted goofiness.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it just fits well. Something about the show works, whereas the Knights of Prosperity just didn't have the right cast. Like, certain things worked with it, certain things didn't. Whereas this show, it just, everything clicks
well,
just
right. Well, you know
what?
Knights of Prosperity, I like that show and I like the cast. I think its main problem is just it's a kind of high concept show where it's hard to catch right. on with the regular viewer.
Well, sure, you know, but I think it suffered from a couple casting problems.
Now, here's the thing, Bill. Andy Barker, good show, but also Reigns. I was ready to be kind of ambivalent about it. I mean, I was ready to not really care that much, but I watched the show, and it, first of all, it's directed by the director of Shawshank Redemption, one of my favorite movies of all time, Frank Darabont. I mentioned last week that it's about a cop who speaks with dead people. Well, he does kind of, but they're not ghosts. They're all in his head. He's projecting them. Mm-hmm. Kind of like as he looks at clues and that sort of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, they don't provide any answers. It's kind of like him talking to himself, but instead he's projecting the dead person and talking to them.
Right.
And they do.
I really loved whenever he would ask the dead person a question, they would always come back with, well, if you don't know, I don't know, sort
right.
of stuff.
If people didn't watch this, here's a little spoiler here. The whole show, he talks to his partner through the whole thing. And at the very end, you find out that his partner's actually dead. But you know what? That didn't spoil it. That was predictable, that part. I knew it, but it didn't matter. I thought it was cool.
They did a very Sixth Sense type.
Well, they set it up in the middle of the show. His boss said, so-and-so saw you talking to his partner's name. I can't remember his partner's name.
I'm not sure if they meant for the audience to go, oh my God! You know, like, oh my God, they fooled me or something. I don't know if they meant that.
I don't think they were. But it was done really well. I really enjoyed the show. It was very well written.
And you know what? Hey, going to keep watching it.
Hey, and I thought the end of the show when Jeff Goldblum got the mix CD from the girl's mother
right.
and he was in his car, that was a pretty good scene. Jeff Goldblum did a terrific job there where he got kind of misty-eyed.
I like the idea that he doesn't have some kind of rapport with the dead. I like the fact that it's just in the real world. There's no supernatural elements. I like that. Because I was kind of like knocking it like, oh, here we go, another medium or something. But I like the fact that it's not.
So you did a little twist on
the
medium.
Thing is, it could be gimmicky, but the way they handled it in the show, it didn't seem gimmicky. They make it seem gimmicky on the previews when they're trying to get people to watch it. Like, hey, Tyson the Dead, ooh, you know.
I like the sarcastic cynicism of the Jeff Goldblum character,
right.
and it came out really good. I'm going to definitely watch it every week.
Yeah, I think it'll be around a while. That's the kind of show where I think it has more going for it because it appeals to people. There was another show called October Road. Mm-hmm. It was written by Scott Rosenberg, the same guy who wrote Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead. I believe he also did Beautiful Girls.
Right.
Remember the Tim Hutton movie with the young Natalie Portman?
Yes.
And it's
the Ted Demme film.
Right. And now, this show was also directed by a guy who's directed feature films, Gary Fleeter, I believe his name. He directed Kiss the Girls and Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
Wow, those are two excellent films.
Yes, they are. And now this is why he's directing TV. But anyway, yes. Okay, basically, let me... If you guys have seen Beautiful Girls, that film, this show is Beautiful Girls, the series. And when you're watching, you're like, something about this is very familiar. That's what they've done. He basically was like, dude, I love those characters. I would even bet you that Scott Rosenberg, the guy who created this, loosely based on his life, because it's about a writer who returns home after like 10 years, something like that. And you know what? This build, this takes place in one of those TV towns, like Stuckeyville, where it looks, everything is awesome. Like, why would anyone leave this place? There's no crime. It just seems great. It's beautiful. When you drive, you just see courtyards and parks and people walking, having fun. It's just one of those dream, anywhere USA kind of Shangri-La kind of places. And he returns to all of his childhood friends, are really goofy. And it's not a bad show. I'm not going to say Laura Prepon, who looks hot as a blonde. You know, she was always a redhead. She looked hot as a redhead, but she looks super hot in the show. And please tell me she's not a Scientologist, Bill.
I can't guarantee that.
So, okay, here's the only negative. They try way too hard to make us like his childhood friends. Like, they do the whole air guitar thing and stuff. And maybe you can chalk that up to pilot, try to get the audience to love these characters as quick as possible.
No, that was just stupid.
Yeah, it was stupid.
That was the worst possible way to make you, like, endear a character to a person.
And that's
because
the worst part.
Saw it, you were just like, this is so stupid.
Because
were you talking about the part when he was leaving or the part later in the show?
Yeah. And then when he shows up and they're like, we kept your tennis racket, which is a guitar. They even have a PA system, like mics and everything.
See, I really didn't mind the first time they did it. The second time they did it, it was too much.
It was a little
hard. It was almost a show that they had never went anywhere.
Right. All of his friends are losers. I did like the guy who never has gone out of the house since 9/11.
I can't help but feel this is like what Beautiful Girls would be if it continued,
right,
like after the movie.
Because at the end, of course, he decides not to leave town. I'm going to keep watching and see what happens with it, but I'm not going to write it off yet, but that was hard to get through, man. Wow.
There are a lot of Yentas out there that love the movie Beautiful Girls, so
right. You know, hey,
I have a feeling
I have no problem with that film. I thought it was a good film.
Well, I don't have a problem with it, but it's not as good as a lot of people say it is.
And you know what? October Road, awesome in HD, looked gorgeous.
Yeah, it had I liked the way it was shot. It kind of had that Auburn look to it. You know everything was warm.
I don't like scenes like this. Okay, first of all, the guy, it begins with in the past where the guy's going to leave and go on a trip, right? He's going to go backpacking. He wakes up with his girlfriend in bed and they look, you know, he's just like, wow, that was great. Like, they just got done having some sex. So they're probably most likely both completely nude under the blanket. His best bud comes in the room. Hey, wake up, guys. Oh, I know what you guys just got doing. Wouldn't you say, get the f*** out of my room, dude? It wouldn't be like, hey, man, what's up? Oh, yeah, I got to get ready. That was totally unrealistic. And then his dad comes down the stairs. So he's screwing his girlfriend. He's got all of his friends there, and they're nude in the bed, and his dad's coming down the stairs. It's like, hello? What? This is inappropriate. I'm just saying, didn't it seem kind of inappropriate?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, let's get into something.
By the way.
Yes.
Yes, Laura Prepon has completed 7 individual courses.
No!
She is with one of the Mastersons.
She is with Chris Masterson.
Oh, yeah, I knew both of those guys are way...
Who has completed 11.
Not only are they Scientologists, they're Scientologist generational. Like, their parents
passed
on. And, you know, I kind of... They get raised into it. They probably have no choice, but... They sucked in Laura Prepon, those bastards!
Yes, but she has also completed the purification rundown, which is basically whenever they lock you in a sweat room after you drink a lot of water. So that's like
Scientological.
That's the big thing. So yeah, both of them are major Hubbardites.
Something that doesn't suck? Smallville! Awesome! How awesome is Smallville? This is the big wedding episode. Nice. And before we even get into that, I love the title cards. Wedding Day.
That was hilarious. I was like, holy shit, what the hell?
They had, this episode jumps all over the timeline, earlier right. in the day, later in the day, back and forth. And it's all about how Lana has finally tried to figure out. She kind of sets it up where Chloe will be locked into the wine cellar, and she will see Clark use his powers, right?
But what cracks me up about it is she couldn't have done that any other time. It had to be on this day at this time.
Well, I want to know this. She gets suspicious now after he saved her life how many times?
Tornado.
How many seasons has he saved her life? And now she's like, something's weird with him. She waited until her freaking wedding day to finally do something about it. Are you shitting me?
And then for that speech between Clark and Chloe while Lana's hiding behind the wine racks about how much he loves her, and it's hardest thing he's ever done to give her up.
Yeah. You only do something when it has nothing to do with your heart. Well, this time, do something that has to do with your heart. And he's like, yeah, you're right. I think I will.
And she just happens to be back there.
Yeah.
It's like...
And I love the scene where she tells Clark, like, you're right, I'm not going to marry him. Meet me in the barn, and he kisses her. It was really creepy. All of a sudden, Lionel shows up. Let's check this out. This is disturbing.
Miss Lang. Shouldn't you be leaving for the church? What's this? This will destroy Lex.
Mr. Luther, I'm sorry, but this is none of your business.
Well, I'm making it my business. I can't let you call off the wedding.
Things have changed.
You have to marry him, have a loveless life for about a year, have your child, and then divorce him and get half of everything.
You know Clark's secret, don't you?
That's good.
I've been watching.
How come everyone knows Clark's secret except her?
And you've been getting closer and closer to finding out the shocking truth about Clark Kent.
Shocking.
What a surprise it must have been to realize Clark has kept up the deception for so long. Right under your nose.
He's basically calling her stupid.
He's trying to protect me.
You are clueless, little hussy.
You think Clark's invincible. It's not so. Like every hero, he has an Achilles heel. A weakness. I know what it is.
Like Shazam.
And I know that it could kill him.
Put tape over his mouth. He can't say it.
No. Cut his tongue out.
You could never.
Boom!
Would you bet Clark's life on that?
You would.
I give you my word, Miss Lang. If you don't honor the promise that you've made to my son, or I find out you've told anyone about this conversation, I will kill Clark Kent.
I will kill Kal-El. I mean Clark Kent.
Is there a tidal wave coming?
Oh no! Tsunami!
Wow, what a build-up there in music!
Holy crap. Okay, snare drums!
I think it would have been better if he was like, you know, if you don't marry my son, I will kill Clark Kent.
Yes!
Now that would have been dramatic. Because that was just kind of weird. It sounds like an eclipse when they had sound effects to it in vampire movies or something.
Well, you know what's just so... It's so sad that he would say, I'll kill Clark Kent. I mean, that's just so like, oh, okay. Why wouldn't he say, I'll kill you, I'll kill your mother, your dog, your, you know, I mean, just...
Well, her mother's already dead.
She doesn't have a mother.
I would have loved for her to say, you know, a lot of people have tried to kill him. They haven't yet, so go F yourself.
Yeah, I know. Why? That would have been the perfect thing to say.
She did the Anakin transformation where she switched over and she was like, Clark, I love him. I want to be with him. She never thought to tell him, like, Clark, he will kill you if you try anything. But here's my favorite scene of the whole episode. When the doctor goes to... to blackmail Lex and
oh
the
my
church,
god!
And they have the organ,
but not only the organ, the fog machine.
Yeah, there's like dry ice in the basement for some reason.
there's
cellar,
the crypt.
Yeah, there's a crypt underneath the church.
Crypt fights
with plenty of dry ice down there for some reason, and he beats the guy to death and throws him in the crypt.
Well, no, he doesn't beat him to death. He pushes him, and his head hits off one of the crypts.
Right, right.
And he dies.
And he hides him.
And then all of a sudden, Lex gets superpowers and pushes a 500-pound cement slab off of a crypt.
Yeah.
And somehow Lionel is right everywhere at once in this episode,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, how does Lionel even know that happened? He's like, whoop-ah! Slaps him, and he's like, you effed up again, son.
How could
there's
you
an extra body
so
in the crypt down below.
He's like, you can have anything you want, Dad. You know, it would have been like, hey, we'll clean it up. Don't worry about it. Pops.
Oh, my God.
Okay, forget that. That wasn't my favorite part. My favorite part was when Clark proposes to Shelby the dog.
No, you know what? I have to say the crypt was my favorite part only because, you know, you had the organ music.
Who the hell's wailing on the organ upstairs is what I want to know. You want to go up there and the friggin' crypt keeper?
That's the guy with the Phantom of the Opera.
All of a sudden it turned, it changed from church music to the Phantom of the Opera in the crypt.
And
these two guys fighting. There's fog on the ground. There's, oh my god, what the hell am I watching?
I loved it.
They had to be laughing at themselves while they were shooting that, because you cannot so incredibly,
like a big schlub, Clark is waiting forever while she's getting married. Then finally he shows up there. I love where she's about to say I do, and she looks over and he's standing there like, what? No.
What about me?
Yeah.
Doing the brooding, scorned lover face that he's adapted so well.
And I love when he goes to talk to her and she basically tells him that, no, she wants to marry Lex. She loves him.
But yes, the fact that he proposed to his dog, that was really cute.
That was genius. I'm just glad Smallville's back. I love this show. And to top it off, I was like, you know what? This episode wasn't bad. Pretty good. And then they show previews to next week.
See, I didn't see the previews to next week yet.
Oh, Bill. Two words. Fight Club.
No way.
Meteor Freak Fight Club.
Nice.
Awesome.
And you see one big muscular guy. He looks like he has plastic muscles going, kill him!
We need to do a fight club in a foggy crypt underneath the church.
So we're going to have a fight club Smallville next
Lots
week.
Of people tripping and bashing dun, dun, their dun, heads dun, dun, and dying.
I love it.
I was waiting for the Phantom of the Opera music to kick in. I mean, it was
so
just
cool.
So blatant.
Before we get into Lost, I want to mention some 24. Because Jack gets rescued from the consulate, Russian consulate, this week.
Good God.
But the best
what the
part,
hell happened to 24?
They brought in President Logan, right? He's on house arrest. He's got the bracelet or whatever, the LoJack on his wrist for some reason. Why not on the ankle? I guess
because they
got
to see it. You have to see that he's actually.
You got to see that it's.
Yes.
Otherwise, they'd have to keep panning down to his ankle.
I mean, that was just so heavy handed. Like, hey, look. There's an ankle bracelet.
They had to have a reason to bring his wife back into it, so they need her to talk to the Russian primary's wife to convince him to let them raid the Russian consulate to save Jack, who has information where the nuclear bombs are before they get launched and endanger. Oh, God.
I know. Isn't it ridiculous? It's so overly complicated.
But the best parts were when Logan is talking to his wife, and she's full of so much anger. She's on pills. She's in rehab. And I love Aaron's there with her, taking care of the old security guy.
Yeah, that was like, oh, I didn't see that coming.
And I love she's eating fruit, and she gets up, and she just grabs her knife and stabs him in the chest. And the show ends with him going beep, flatlining in the ambulance. Awesome episode. Awesome.
I'm a crazy bitch.
I love that scene.
And Ricky Stratton showed up.
Oh yeah, Rick Schroeder. Rick. Don't
no,
call
it's
me
Rick
Ricky
Stratton.
Rick Stratton.
Oh, Rick Stratton. Oh, and speaking of that, Bill, Erin Gray was on that show called The Wedding Bells last night.
I saw that. What? Oh, that poor woman.
Oh, she used to be so hot. But, you know, people grow old, right?
Right.
Hey, yeah, but there's just a point where growing old and looking really friggin' fugly. It's like she spent way too much time in the sun as she aged.
Right. But you know what, Bill? She's still got leathery. A hot ass.
Okay.
So anyway, 24, I'm sorry I'm not spending as much time as we used to. Hey, the one good thing I do like, Powers Booth has taken over as president, and he's psychotic. He's basically the same character he was from Deadwood.
Yeah. He's even started a presidential whorehouse.
Yeah. I got to tell you something about Powers Booth. He's one of those actors who's freaking scary as hell.
Wolverine!
He's frightening. And he was great in Red Dawn. But he's a scary president. Because we live here! Okay, Bill, let's get into Lost real quick. Because this was a great episode, okay? This was all about Claire. She figures out how to use birds to save them off the island. Let's check it out.
I wanted to die in a plane crash instead of watch this episode.
Let's check it out.
5 minutes ago, a flock of seabirds flew over my head. Seabirds are migratory, which means they're going to keep heading south.
Seabirds.
Seabirds?
I'm sorry, I don't understand why we need...
They're tagged.
They're tagged. Like
scientists
semen.
Tag these birds so they can track them. So when they eventually land in Australia or New Zealand
freaks.
Or wherever, somebody's going to gather them up.
We need to tag these seabirds.
If we can catch one.
Seabirds.
So here's the plan. First, we've got to cut up these fish, make chum. That'll get the birds to settle in the water. And then we're going to
need
to cut
some of these. She's got it all planned out.
It will make some
Charlie, can
rings.
You go get some knives? Charlie.
You're hurting me,
Charlie.
Yeah. How do you even know this stuff about birds, Claire?
I watched a lot of nature shows with my mum.
Doesn't exactly make you an expert.
Whoa.
I don't want to see you wasting your time, that's all.
Charlie, you son of a bitch.
So what happened to seizing the day?
Do you want some, Charlie? Come and get it. I'll kick your ass.
Charlie, I'm going to
don't
seize your balls.
You want some? You want some? Come on up here. Come on up. Let's
Whoa.
Go.
But also, the main part we really wanted to watch from the show was Locke, Saeed, and Kate, and the eye patch dude, and Russo. They find this weird kind of system thing. But basically, they got a... I'm glad that they finally cut loose with this guy, but let's check out what's going on with them this episode.
From the position of this stream, we should be here. If the scale is right... These people are 2 miles in that direction. I don't expect you to confirm that.
It's electrical wiring map, Saeed. I'm not sure it's as accurate as you think.
Well, it's certainly not as infallible as the magical carvings on your stick.
Hey, the stick did get us to that station.
Oh, the station which you accidentally blew up.
Well, if you'd warned me that the basement was rigged with C4, I might have been a little more careful.
C4?
Why don't you just tell us if we're going the right way?
You're going the right way.
Remind me why we're keeping him alive.
What do you suggest? We shoot him like a dog?
No. I like dogs.
He's right. They would not trade his life for your friends. You should shoot him.
Enough. Nobody's shooting anybody. The map says where they are, and he says the map is right. Just keep moving.
The one cool scene is when they find that security device and Locke pushes them through, is you can see blood shooting out of his ears. That was sweet.
Yeah, that's the one good thing about high def is you get to see blood squirting out your ears.
So was that some kind of sonic weapon? What the hell
Yes,
was
it
that?
Was basically turned his brain into scrambled eggs.
But if he would have kept going, would it have not have hurt him? If you ran through real quick and kept hauling ass, would you be able to?
No, you wouldn't be able to because it seizes your brain and... Basically stops you in your tracks.
Do they something like that really exist?
If you put
world?
Your fingers in your ear, you could walk through it.
I should have done right. But he even says, he even goes, thank you, because he wanted to die, so I guess they couldn't use him for anything. I don't know.
He had to kill his lady friend.
Well, he was just an excuse to test this fence. That's why they brought him along.
That's the entire reason he showed up in that TV a season ago or whatever it feels like a season.
And they easily circumvent the security system with... yes, a tree branch. They have you guys noticed they always show Kate climbing on things? Like, she easily climbed out of the cage. She's always climbing up trees. So basically, in the big flashback scenes, we find out that Jack's dad is Claire's dad. And
shocker.
Yeah, we already figured that out last season. And let's see, what else was there?
And Claire is a really irritating character, and that I hope she dies soon.
Well, there was the whole scene where he's like, Charlie, you're looking up today. And he goes, you got to seize the day, Claire. And then later on, she's like, what happened to seize the day? And he's like, well, things change. And then later on, she says it. I think she says it again. What happened to seize the day, Charlie?
Things change.
It's like, was that conversation really that memorable?
Yeah, I know. But he is a breakfast. Let's seize the day.
Yeah.
She took it literally.
Oh, Tisus, bring your friend hither. He's quoting Dead Poets Society. That's what it was all about. So basically what happens is Desmond was trying to keep him from dying by going to help her with the seabirds.
And that's got to get really tiring for Desmond, because Charlie is just such an unlikable guy.
He's just like, hey, Desmond, am I safe to go on the ship? Yeah, have fun. You'll be just fine. He's like, whoa, rid of that dude.
Eventually, he's just got to be like, you know what?
He's going to be trampled by a herd of elephants. Yeah. And, you know, I like Desmond's character, but they get premonitions of Charlie's death thing is going to get old.
Yeah, I wish they'd just kill him off already.
Fan favorite Charlie is what I always read. It's like, are you sure?
Looks like his days are numbered.
But here was the good reveal at the end. Well, also, the eye patch guy says, you're not on the list. You have anger. You have fear and all that. So basically, you have to be a Jedi to get in this camp.
Yes. Right? And none of those people at that camp have anger or fear.
Yeah, they're all just perfect.
That makes any sense whatsoever.
Not at all. But they see Jack running, and he catches a football, and he's playing
with Tom,
the gay guy.
Who flies planes in
Vegas.
I say
he's gay.
Crashes into the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah, the guy's an awesome actor. So that was Lost this week. Can't wait for next week. Next week, they teased it. We're going to find out how Locke was
going. I'm actually looking forward to this next episode. It's something that we've been wanting to see for...
Now, here's the one thing. Everyone loves Locke. Everyone wants Locke back from season one. He seems kind of like a bumbling guy now, but this week he had the C4 on him.
Yeah.
So he knew about the C4. So
yes,
basically,
he
knew that the place was going to blow up. So what's going on with him? Does he know more than he's letting on? Is he always? It would be hard. It almost seemed like revisionist writing in a way with his character.
Yeah, it definitely did, because they tried to drop that hint like Locke knew the one-eyed guy. You know,
yeah, he goes, but I know you. And last time I saw you, you were, oh, hey, guys, check this out. And he was just like, broke it up there. So
it was real sloppy.
And then he pushes a guy through to die. Maybe he didn't want
them
to ever find out. I don't know.
Maybe he's like an evil mobster that's working for the Linderman Group, who's a subsidiary of Dharma.
And I'm going to say that in the first season, maybe I cared a lot. Like, hey, I wonder how he's crippled. Now I'll just watch why he's crippled, and I won't care that much. I mean, I'm just saying that I haven't... Oh, my God, how was he? I don't care as much about that. Whatever they come up with, it's fine by me.
Baseball bats.
Because remember the What Kate Did episode? She just blew up her stepdad.
Please don't remind me. Look, it's a black horse.
So, basically, that was Lost, and we got some Battlestar Galactica. And this episode was about how, basically, Leah Dama's protecting the lawyer of Gaius Baltar, and each of the lawyers keep getting blown up, right? It's mysterious bombs being planted. And here's a scene of Battlestar Galactica. Let's check it out.
I loved a woman. Beautiful, beautiful woman. But so serious. This frowning face trapped in the middle of a daisy. Get away and walking.
So they have Ireland in the.
If you run away to your own execution.
There's a planet of Ireland.
Planet Houston. Planet Ireland.
There's no snakes on that planet anymore.
I thought if I could get over her, I could get over anything. I could endure.
My friends call me Badger. I was on Firefly.
Stand up to any and all kind of punishment. I need a lozenge. An empty spinning bed for months. And that... That is when I
you ever have space hemorrhoids?
If I need
God, they hurt
strength,
in zero gravity.
What was that point?
Wait, this is the worst on
I needed to be with her.
Makes no sense, really, but...
Did he...
This AC unit in Galactica sure does make a lot of noise, doesn't it?
Well, that's how you know it's working.
Ah.
They should really tie strings on it so you know the wind is blowing. Yeah. Well,
little streamers.
Wanted you to know that he misses.
Where was
you.
That? We saw that in some.
Loves
cracked
you.
Up.
Yeah.
Because he can't be here to tell you. Gave me this to give to you.
Raise your hand if you know what's going on in the scene. This is what happens when you get foggy and do a scene for you when you're running late.
Express his feelings to put his world into some
Why
kind
is he
of
whispering?
Order.
I don't know.
To be heard.
He's doing his best Colin Farrell impression, isn't he?
He's kept it hidden because he
it's
knows
uncanny.
He will not get
He's doing
up.
Colin Farrell from Daredevil.
I never lose eye.
Oh no, from the New World.
Because without you, it has no meaning.
Because he's trying to put us to sleep, I think.
Because without
Where is Pocahontas?
It has no meaning.
I don't know about you guys. Forget about BSG, but I watched The New World. And I think Terrence Malick's a talented dude and all. But, and he does these like poetic scenes where it's narration of the camera staring up at the trees through the sun shining down through the tree branches and stuff. And okay, so anyway, BSG.
I watched The New World the other day and almost fell asleep.
Yeah,
I mean it's like I've been meaning to watch it for the longest time because I bought it and I just kept looking at the DVD like, you know. Maybe today's the day.
Hey, the cinematography's gorgeous.
But that doesn't keep you awake.
Terrence Malick, he knows how to direct dramatic scenes. He knows how to direct action-filled scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a poet at heart, I guess. He needs to be writing poetry, I think. And Boy. He wrote this episode of Battlestar Galactica.
I wasn't surprised by that at all.
No, I'm kidding. He didn't write this, but... Anyway, this episode was all about how Lee and his dad kind of separate or something and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't exactly the most...
Steven. Hello, Steven.
What? Are you talking to me?
Open your eyes, you crazy son of a bitch!
Whoa!
Hey, the story!
I mean, this episode was fine. It's all set up for the galactic
trial.
I like to call it. And we'll see what happens there. In honor of Vanessa's birthday, what do you say that we do the news? Christ.
Where is a crazed gunman when you need them?
Listen to me for 5 seconds. That's all I'm asking.
Okay. All right, Bill. Well, we don't have Vanessa, so you're going to do the news this week. And I can't wait to hear what we got in the news this week.
Stay out of my closet.
Whoa.
All right.
All right, Bill. what do we got the news this week?
Well, I guess... Thank you for that dramatic introduction. I guess Carol Burnett is not a fan of the Fox animated show Family Guy.
Oh.
A cartoon version of Carol Burnett appears in a recent episode, Peter Otica, in which Peter Griffin, the title character, tries his hand at penning erotic novels. eventually bankrupting his father-in-law in the process after a man gets all hot and bothered while listening to one of Peter's audiobooks and crashes his car and sues the Peterschmitz. Anyway, the chairman, known as, you know, Carol Burnett, or chairwoman. I never understood that. Why would they call her the chairwoman? Does she like chairs?
I guess instead of being a chairman.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever. You know. It's a stupid name. But anyway, Carol Burnett shows up as a maid at Pornoslavia, an adult bookstore that Peter visits with his pal Quagmire, who remarks that the store is so clean because Carol Burnett works part-time as the janitor. In the background, a variation on the Carol Burnett show theme is playing. So Carol Burnett had her lawyers file these claims in the U.S. District Court against the Family Guy for using the Carol's theme from the Carol Burnett show.
Would you suggest they shoot them like a dog?
I guess she wasn't very happy about the Family Guy using it whenever they weren't.
Can I say this about Family Guy? Can I just say this real quick?
Yeah.
Family Guy has ruined the pop culture reference.
It really has.
Don't you think? It abuses the pop culture reference.
It abuses the hell out of it to the point where I'm, like, embarrassed whenever they do an episode that blends. They did an episode that blended what? Star Wars, The Goonies, Star Trek. It was just, like, every possible geek pop culture thing.
I feel like they're like, look what we can reference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that
At times, yeah, you're right.
That's what it feels like.
There's episodes where it's like, yeah, look how clever we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I really think that Seth MacFarlane, the guy that created and helps write the show, is just completely untalented.
Wow.
It's quite the shocking statement.
I enjoyed The Family Guy.
I don't watch it. The times I have, my thoughts are never of, it's more like, kind of like, okay, we get it. You can reference pop culture kind of thing. I have a bad attitude when I watch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I really don't like Family Guy, but I thought it was funny that Carol Burnett would go so far out of her way to even recognize such stupidity.
Yeah, that is funny.
Did you know that the comedian Sinbad was dead?
I've heard about this.
Yeah, well, apparently someone decided to go onto Wikipedia, which is user-edited, and put in a bogus death notice on Wednesday. What's even sadder is that a volunteer, someone visiting the site, was actually looking for information on Sinbad and noticed that a false notice of death was entered, and it was changed.
I wonder what's up with Sinbad right now. Let's check it out.
Let's Wikipedia him.
I mean, come on. His career's been dead since, you know, 1995, but it just, the people were looking for someone, Sinbad of all people, on Wikipedia. Like, you know, was somebody doing a serious report? They
I'm
needed
so
to know
scared, baby.
Information about Sinbad's career, like how much he got paid for house guests,
so weird. I'm gonna have to look that up now.
But what's even funnier is when asked for a comment, the Wikipedia spokesman said somebody vandalized the page. Whoever did this was obviously a prankster. They did this because they thought he was dead.
So basically, you have this format where anyone can go in and edit it, and then when something like this happens, how is that surprising?
Somebody needs to go in there, just like you just said, career died.
And then, of course, you know, the press has to call, you know, Sinbad's representatives, in which, you know, they have to reply and say that Sinbad is healthy, well, and enjoying life, even though his career is completely dead.
I just miss that Sinbad stand-up.
It messed with
me for 5 seconds. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking.
That was his biggest comedy bit, was that McDonald's shakes are so thick that the straws they give you don't work.
Awesome.
I mean, that was
he was a Star Search comedian. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was his moment of genius. Just these McDonald's shakes are so thick you can't use the straw.
He did, it's so funny. The guy goes by the name Sinbad.
He didn't go. He didn't earn his way through the comedy shops like all the other comedians. He went through Star Search, Ed McMahon.
Well, technically, so did Jim Carrey.
But
I mean, other than the Duck Company, Jim Carrey really didn't have anything.
Well, I don't think. I mean, it's almost like a lot of people were on Star Search, but I don't think that's why they became famous, though.
Jackie the Joke Man was on Star Search.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are on it, but that's not why they got famous. They had to keep working at it. Mm-hmm. You know what
I mean, you have to really
Sinbad,
work hard before you get a job like
that. His peak was later on. Like that.
Yeah, I think his peak. Speak was during A Different World.
Yeah!
Hey, look, it's Lisa Bonet at college. Nonetheless.
Awesome.
The next story is, you know, sometimes I just wish people wouldn't discriminate against others. You know, it was just one kiss. That's all it took.
I'll just say thank you, Susan.
For two people to get thrown out of an IHOP. Now, it was a kiss that supposedly this woman would share with her uncle, but it wasn't her uncle. It was her girlfriend. The two women were sharing a kiss, and it didn't seem appropriate to other couples in the restaurant, but someone that saw it was quite offended. Yes, so, you know, there's nothing more offensive than two lesbians kissing.
Nice.
Now, they may have been viciously ugly lesbians, and then in that case, yes, people should be offended.
That's just ugly people kissing in general.
Yes.
Oh, were they butch lesbians?
I don't know, but it says that the representative for the IHOP said that they had some complaints about the public displays of affection and that they're a family restaurant, and that they can't accept it, and they won't accept it, whether it's gay or straight.
You're a slut. You dress like a slut. You look like a slut.
I don't even like when straight people make out in public. I think it's rude and annoying.
It is. I would have to say it is. But, you know, this is, I think it's in Grandview, Kansas City. And, I think it's inappropriate to really, you know, make out or even just kiss in IHOP in a family restaurant. Sure, you know, it's not that big of a deal when a man and a woman does it, but whenever it is a gay couple, there are certain people that just don't want to see that, don't want their kids to see it. They're very sheltered. So I can't say I'm surprised that this happened, but,
let me put it this way. I don't believe myself to be a homophobic person, but I would not want to watch two big, fat, say, like 300-pound gay guys be tonguing each other while eating at the Denny's.
No, that would make me throw up. I would literally regurgitate.
You can't handle the truth.
I would regurgitate my Grand Slam breakfast.
Yeah,
my
and I'm
eggs
just saying,
and hash browns.
I'm just saying,
all over the
if
place.
Somebody was like, "Well, you just don't like gays," I don't think it even comes down to that. It just comes down to wanting to eat your dinner and not be grossed out by.
It comes down to being appropriate in public.
Yeah, exactly, Bill. I'm with you on that, Bill. Thank you.
I mean, you wouldn't want to see a guy, girl, you know, tonguing it, you know, IHOP while you're trying to eat with your family.
Exactly.
No, you know, sure, it may be a little different because they're gay, because, you know...
No, Jason. What? No, that has nothing to do with...
Oh, okay.
But I would tongue Lila at an IHOP and wouldn't care if I got kicked out.
Oh, Lila doesn't think that's funny, Bill.
Well, I don't think it's funny either. I'm just saying it outright.
It's not funny, Jason. It's not funny.
Bill said it! I didn't say it! Christ!
This is out of Brighton in the UK.
Okay.
Two elderly muggers are robbing bank customers after squirting them with liquid poop.
Oh, God.
There is now a liquid poop spray.
these two are believed to be a husband and wife, aged around 70, and they offer to help clean up their victims before taking their cash.
What?
Yes, Albert and Doreen Croucher lost 4,000 pounds as they left the bank after making a withdrawal at Eastbourne, East Sussex, last month. Mr. Croucher, 58, said, "I felt this blast from the buildings above us. The smell was instant and vile." Then a lady came over with tissues and helped clean it off. It was only later that I realized she had fleeced me. So basically, they're distracting these people by spraying them with shit and then taking their money.
Two shit hoes.
I mean, that's genius.
Yeah, shit hoes, right, Vanessa?
They jump in their colostomy bags on it.
Yeah, I think they, like, liquefy the poop and they just spray it on people. Like, here's some good shit in your face.
Sorry, if someone did that, I would be more pissed off and want to punch somebody than be distracted enough to have my wallet taken.
Yeah. That's just gross.
That's a great thing.
And the E. coli in that poo.
They probably had to get shots after that, don't you think?
They probably never used their blender again. John McCain, who was...
I love Die Hard.
Yes. No, that's John McClane. This is John McCain, the representative from Arizona.
Uh-huh.
But he may have just sunk his political career in Cedar Falls, Iowa, of all places. He used the term tar baby on Friday.
Not good.
As we all know,
looks like you're working out some issues there.
A racial epithet. That's not something you say, even if it is in Iowa, where I don't think there actually are any black people. But he was answering questions at a town hall meeting, and he said, while discussing federal involvement in custody cases, that for him to stand there and say that he's going to declare divorces invalid because of someone who feels they weren't treated fairly in court, they're getting into a tar baby of an enormous proportion, and I don't know how to get out of that.
I've got an issue here. I've got an issue.
Oh, no. Okay. He used it in a different context.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when the one guy used the word niggerly, which is in the dictionary and doesn't mean what you think it means?
Right.
Yeah. That guy had to apologize to ignorant fucks, like, sorry for using this word because it sounds like another word. I hate this shit. Ugh. Why would anyone want to be a politician? Christ.
Yeah, because technically, you know, from Webster's dictionary, a tar baby is a situation, a problem, or the like that is almost impossible to solve or break away from.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
It has absolutely no racial connotation whatsoever.
Yeah, but it's been turned into that, and that's what people know.
Well, that's because a tar doll was used to trap Briar Rabbit in the Uncle Remus story. So immediately they, you know, lay a racial connotation on it. Because
I find
you know,
that so hard to believe.
But that's just really... I just can't believe that. A guy has a wide vocabulary, a much wider vocabulary than most people, where he uses the term in a proper manner, and then after the event, he has to apologize.
Yeah, just screw it.
I mean, he said to reporters, "I don't think I should have used that word, and I was wrong to do so." Why? Why were you wrong? You used it in the right manner.
Well, right. That makes him think that he knew, if by apologizing, it makes him think that he knew like both connotations of the word.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And the same thing happened to Mitt Romney last year, the representative from Massachusetts. He called that big dig in Boston, where they've been doing that forever, that freeway thing, a tar baby. You know, it's a bad situation for everyone. But because the term dates back to the 19th century, with the Uncle Remus stories referring to the doll made of tar that traps the Briar Rabbit, it's now become a way of describing a mess. And it because somebody decided to
lay a...
And these guys are old, okay? They're not like our generation where I wouldn't use that term.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's another thing.
What the guy, what I'd rather, instead of him apologize, go, this is what I meant by it, and it refers to this. You could go back and read it. I know it meant nothing racist. If you choose to believe that, that's fine, but I'm not apologizing about it because it had nothing to do with race. I was describing this problem here.
It's generational.
Yeah, just give me a break. Whatever.
It's just really sad that this guy has done so much for our country. Vietnam, stuck in one of those, prisons.
Wasn't he in the Hanoi Hilton or something?
Huh?
Wasn't he in the Hanoi Hilton?
Yeah, he was.
He's a prisoner of war, and he can't say tar, baby. Give me a break.
High five for that.
I have no problem with the guy at all.
No, I don't either. And I just think this is a crime that, you know, now that this has happened, that people are going to automatically label him as racist or use this against him in the possibility of him running.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
So do I. You know, this is kind of, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but more young women are trading relationships for emotionless sexual encounters.
Nice. I did not know that.
There's, you know, I guess the story says that, you know, when you're not hooking up, there's no emotional element.
Well, so basically,
like Bill, homeless Princess Leia.
Where? So basically, get what you want and you move on. You gotta love that in a woman.
Bang, Ladesh.
But also, you know, you gotta worry about that type of girl. You know, if you meet. Meets a hot chick at a bar and she takes you back and screws your brains out, you know, make sure you use protection because she's probably really dirty. And you should probably shave all the hair off your crotch because she probably has crabs.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
Bill. Hey,
Bill, these are good tips.
Yes. I'm just saying that if some chick is willing to f*** you the moment you meet her,
yeah,
there's something going on there. It's more than just, you know, no emotional
Look
element.
Look around
it's...
the room. She's had all of those guys, too, you know?
It's kind
of
loose.
When another dude winks at you and goes,
Had that. I was in there last night, dude.
He vanished into skinny air.
Huh?
Well, I think that would probably be said at a gay bar.
Just sits in the corner wearing a sweater vest and masturbating.
Huh?
If she's hot, I'd take her home.
Now, okay, say you were in a bar, Bill, and a pretty hot chick comes up to you, and she says this.
Let me see, show you what is that. Ta-da!
Would you,
Absolutely.
Awesome.
It depends on what she was showing me. Like, she could have been a she-male. I would have ran the other direction.
Ta-da! Good Lord. Well, you don't know what her intentions are.
One, two, three. Go and hit it.
Ooh. That can be painful.
I'm sold. I don't necessarily want it eaten, but, you know.
Oh! Yikes.
Shit! Thanks.
Oh,
those are some crunchy balls. Cheese balls. Last story.
It's nice,
this is,
guy. Let's do just... it.
Let's try and wrap this up here. But this last story is, you know, you got to be careful when you're playing around a school fence. You know, this one's out of New Zealand. A girl was impaled on a school fence for at least 10 minutes before emergency services cut her free. The 14-year-old girl apparently slipped while trying to scale the front metal fence of Palmaria Primary School in Henderson, Auckland, New Zealand, sometime after 5 p.m. this past Sunday. The arrow-like point of one of the fence pails spiked the inside of her right arm about midway below the elbow and wrist, extending like a giant needle at her wrist.
Witnesses said
she had to stand on tiptoes to avoid hanging by the arm.
Ouch!
Lesson to children.
Don't climb on pointy.
Don't climb metal fences that have arrow-like points on them.
Yeah.
What is the best way to take away someone's dignity?
That's like in movies, the bad guy always falls on one of those fences, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
Do you remember that in Backdraft? Remember when Robert De Niro gets impaled on the fence? Ouch!
Yep. I just don't understand kids. I mean, that's just such a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Brittany, and that's the perfect way to sum up the news for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week, and we appreciate it. Too bad Vanessa's not around, and we could have wished her a happy birthday.
Indeed.
But I'm sure her nap is going really well.
Yes.
Now, are we going to just get right into the DVDs?
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, one of my favorite cult news sites was this guy, Rick Ross. He's basically like the cult crusader. You know, he calls out everybody, and his sites have been down the past couple weeks. So I'm hoping they got to him, Bill. I hope everything's fine, you know, that his backup site is active, but his cult news network that I used regularly was, as you know,
Thetan,
not...
Thetan.
Yeah, yes, we not got working him. I mean, they correctly. Got him.
So I'm going to check that out later tonight. Hopefully it's up, and I'll have some great cult news for us next week.
Okay, great. I can't wait to have a return to cult news. But let's go ahead and get into the DVDs. What do you say?
Let's do some DVDs.
Let's do some DVDs. HD Blu-ray of standard definition. DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, baby! Ooh. Oh, what's happening?
Something building.
Oh, wow.
I can feel it.
The tension in here.
Now, Bill...
Because I have every single answer there is. The ones you ain't got, I got. The ones you ain't got, I got,
what?
Too.
Shut the hell up. Good God.
Why don't you go back to singing the national anthem and grabbing the dirty crotch?
You want some? Come on up here. Come on up. Let's go.
Whoa. Watch out.
It's just really sad that Donald Trump has to resort to going on WWE shows to promote things now. Has The Apprentice dropped so far in ratings and his dignity dropped so far?
I know. Here's a clue, Trump. When the last guy to do this was K-Fed,
yeah.
That tells you don't do it.
Just really ridiculous. These are DVDs for March 20th, 2007.
Awesome.
The first one is a HBO series that was called Addiction. It's a multi-episode. I think it ended up being like 90 minutes, but there's over 5 hours of additional material on this DVD. And not only is it disturbing, it's funny. It's just all these people struggling with different addictions, from heroin to crack to meth to, you know, it's
what
just
about marijuana?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Marijuana is not a drug.
I used to suck dick for coke.
Whoa, okay.
But it's like 13 segments, you know, talking about addiction, like what it is.
Isn't this tragic and stuff? Why is it funny?
Well, you know, if you're really, really morbid like I am at times, it's kind of funny. But it's also helpful. You know, they talk to a ton of psychiatrists, doctors. But, you know, it could really help people that have someone in their family that is suffering from addiction. And if you're, you know, morbidly funny like me, you would find it quite humorous. Like, look at these people smoking crack. Oh, I'll do anything for a rock. I'll suck dick.
Good Lord! But they had a thing about meth addicts, or what is it? Crank? What do they call that stuff?
Meth, yeah. Meth,
or what do they call someone who's a meth freak? A meth freak?
A tweaker.
A tweaker. And how they take things apart and can't put them back together or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that was so weird. They were just talking about, yeah, I had to take the radio apart. But it's so weird
that
drug does the same thing to everyone's brain where they have to take shit apart. Isn't that weird?
Have you ever seen the film Salt and Sea?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Yeah, there's some really great stuff on there where Val Kilmer like incorporates himself into that whole you know, environment to try and figure out who killed his wife.
Right.
And the way they describe the entire experience of it is really enlightening. You know, I had no idea what meth really did to people, but it's pretty horrible stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Ain't it awful?
Yes, it is. God, Bugs. Next DVD is one of my favorite shows. God, this guy is great. Anthony Bourdain, No Reservations.
Ah, yes.
He's a terrific chef out of New York. His place is a bistro called Los Hollis. And he's got gigantic balls. This Whoa. Guy travels all over the world and is willing to do anything, eat anything. And he's extremely clever. He's a very smart guy. He's written some really terrific books, nonfiction and
One of
fiction.
My testicles has enlarged.
But this DVD set covers his first season from the Travel Channel, and it he goes to Paris, New Jersey, Sicily, Las Vegas,
Wait,
New
Paris,
Zealand.
New Jersey.
Okay. Yeah. Paris, the place. New Jersey, the place. Sicily, Las Vegas, Vietnam, Iceland, Malaysia, New Zealand. This, what was so funny about this, the Iceland show is, you've been to the zoo and been to the penguin house, and they have those tiny little penguin-like things called puffins.
Right. Yeah.
That are always flapping their wings like they're ready to take off, and they never go anywhere. And they're adorable little birds. They really are. And in Iceland, those suckers are regular food for them. These cute little birds, they basically live off of. That's their chicken. And when he sees that, he's appalled at it, but then he's oh, this is delicious. And nice. I just can't help but laugh at that, because I think that puffins are some of the cutest things in the world, and that they're also delicious.
You know what? That guy also loves the cigarettes.
Oh my God, does he smoke like a chimney? Yeah. I don't know how somebody that smokes so much can actually have a palate for
food. That's, I've wondered that too. Isn't he worried about it ruining his palate?
You know what, I don't think he cares. He is just so, you look at this guy, and this guy is living life on his terms.
If you don't love what you do, you'll never, ever be successful.
Oh, Anthony Bourdain loves what he does.
Trump knows how to sum that up. And you know what? Trump would know, because he's appeared on the WWE.
That's right.
Next
Meaning
DVD.
What?
Oh, wow, good Lord.
Next DVD is one of my favorite all-time animated series, and that's Batman Beyond Season 3.
Awesome! Totally
Batman.
Cool!
Batman Beyond was a WB, a kids' WB show that ran for a few years in the late 90s, early...
Oh my God.
And it was set, I would have to say, 30 years into the future from when Batman first happened.
It was Batman Does Blade Runner.
Yeah, it really was. And it was just a terrific show. It was Paul Dini, who was one of the writers of it, was just... it's just really, really good. It was a show that was consistently good every episode.
Yeah, it had the old Bruce Wayne with his new young Batman. He was helping train and stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was. So season 3 is out. I'm definitely going to have to pick that up. I cannot recommend the show Batman Beyond enough. If you have kids, if you're a geek, sit down and watch it with them, because it's just a great show. It's good for kids. It's not good for kids, but because it is a little dark.
It's very educational.
It's one of those IE shows. You see up in the corner, the
drawing
education.
The line on the insanity.
So am I. It's just too much. Next DVD is quite possibly one of the most overrated films of the year, and that is Blood Diamond.
That is dead on.
Coming out in full screen, widescreen, and of course, special edition.
In America, they call it bling bling, but there it's bang bang.
Bang, yes. This movie, written by Charles Levitt and directed by the... Please, Edward Zwick.
Ah, Edward Zwick!
Quite possibly one of the most heavy-handed... directors of all time.
I think the word is ham-handed.
Yes, he knows how to direct action very well, actually. He knows how to do an action scene, but everything else, dude, you are freaking
You
horrible.
Remember Legends of the Fall? Just that movie's ham-handed. It just lays it on.
What
My
about The Last
part,
Samurai?
I love, at the end of Legends of the Fall when Anthony Hopkins has had a stroke and now he's Popeye the Sailor Man. He's like, and he's got his little chalkboard. Oh, man. Wow. Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, we've said this before, The Last Samurai, where the guy talks to Tom Cruise and says, "Tell me how he died." And Tom Cruise says, "I'll tell you how he lived." And road credits.
Thetan.
It's like, are you Zenu. Freaking serious?
But he did do Glory.
He did do Glory. But you know what? There's only so many bad movies you can do until it kind of washes out what's good of your career.
It's like, wait a second, was the script really good in this?
The script was absolutely horrible. I mean, this movie was so poorly written. I really feel it kind of took an important issue, you know, apartheid diamonds, and just completely trivialized it.
But Bill, Jaimin Huntsu delivers a dramatic performance in that.
You know, he does, and he's pretty good. But this movie is just so incredibly ridiculous.
Is it because it takes a serious issue and then tries to make an action film out of it?
It takes a serious issue and tries to make an important action film.
Is it kind of like bringing up apartheid and Lethal Weapon?
It is! It really is! I mean, it's
diplomatic immunity.
He couldn't start out any more, you know, shocking. You know, with this like tribe invading this village, and children, and cutting hands off of people that won't join the.
Oh man, that's so shocking too when they do that.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, so this guy, he's captured, his son's taken, his wife and children get away, but now he's working in a diamond mine. And
sorry, called you Feng.
And he hides it, and then all of a sudden, I mean, it just gets so ridiculously complicated.
And
all
then at the end, Jennifer Connelly just makes a blood diamond into a necklace.
Yes, right. But what's funny is they work in this whole storyline of Leonardo DiCaprio at some point was in an army. And then he became a mercenary, and now the captain of his army is now a mercenary who looks for diamonds.
This is so nauseating.
It's just so nauseating. You're right. It's just one of these. I cannot put into words how bad this movie is.
I can't wait to watch it.
I want people to watch it just so they can roll their eyes and understand how horrible and how trivializing this is to the topic that it concentrates on. I don't understand how this movie got any nominations whatsoever.
It's a rumor that she's a Scientologist.
Who?
Laura Prepon.
Well, that's no rumor. She is.
No, she's not, Bill. You're wrong.
Now, this one is really important for me. This next DVD is a huge part of my youth.
Stays in these four walls.
That when that guy, when he talks, it's like Steven. that breathy Steven isn't nasal like he is. But the next DVD is really important to me. I grew up in a house with three sisters, so of course I'm going to be exposed to things that normally wouldn't be, well, masculine. One of my favorite cartoons as a kid, and this is only because one of my sisters was a year older than me and we pretty much watched the same stuff, was The Care Bears.
Oh.
Slee, I was young. I liked The Care Bears. I even had the album that was for the Care Bears movie and the song Care, we're the Care Bears. You know, well, Care Bears the movie is finally coming out on DVD, and I might just have
Yay.
To rent this.
Good.
To realize how incredibly gay it is. I wish I could, like, go back in time and show my young self, you know, Star Wars.
Did you ever do the Care Bear stare?
Yes, I did.
Yeah!
You know, I just wish I could go back in time. Star Wars, Blade Runner, all these terrific things that came out in the early 80s. And what am I doing? I'm watching the fucking Care Bears. I thought, you know, these freaking little teddy bears that have symbols on their chests, and they shoot the symbols out of their chests to make people feel better, make the sun brighter. And I mean, this show was so incredibly gay. They talk about the feminization of America. This is part of it. I cannot believe I actually loved this show.
I mean, am very disappointed.
In fact, I think this movie had to do with Professor Coldheart. You know the other thing that I watched as a kid? Strawberry Shortcake. I even had the villain guy. I had the doll, the blueberry guy.
Jesus Christ.
I had that kid.
The guy was gay. Gay.
Yeah, can you believe, you know, growing up in a house with three sisters, I couldn't avoid it. I'm surprised I didn't turn gay. In fact, you know, I would come home and I would want to watch GoBots, Transformers, Mask, you know, something, you know, fun that I loved. And my sisters would have to watch General Hospital because it was on at 3 o'clock whenever we got home from school.
Dude, I totally am with you there. I still remember this colossal argument over, were we going to watch Moonraker or Mary Poppins? And Laura and Vanessa won out, and I had to watch Mary Poppins instead of Moonraker.
I always lost out because it was 3-1.
I was like, are you kidding me? I got to
watch
this.
I had two brothers.
Every day I would come home and I would want to watch cartoons. I would want to watch GoBots. I would want to watch Transformers. And I couldn't. I relished the days that I would come home at 2 o'clock and be able to watch at least, you know, an hour of cartoons. And then my sisters would come home. Because if it was any other thing and they were home early, it was One Life to Live at 2 and General Hospital at 3.
Oh,
and
Christ.
I never... Yeah, and I always had... That's what was on the TV. We didn't have two TVs when I was that young. So I had no choice. And I just... Oh. It just pisses me off that that's... That
I've been scrubbing them real hard.
I'm sorry. I'm just angry.
Wow. This is like a kind of a therapy session, Bill. You're
it is.
It all
I'm getting it all out. Thank you for letting me do this.
Thought I made myself clear. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
I know. I'm not getting violent. I'm just getting angry. Next DVD is the Comedy Central roast of William Shatner, Uncensored.
Awesome.
It was actually pretty funny.
I've only seen the censored version. It was pretty funny.
The censored version, they always show the uncensored at like 1 a.m.
Well, crap. Why didn't I know that?
Yeah, anytime you're watching anything on Comedy Central...
I can't remember. I was high at the time.
At 1 a.m., they show all the uncensored stuff. Like, they'll show Eddie Murphy raw at 1 a.m. on Comedy Central.
Okay, I'm with you. Nice.
Next DVD is Aragorn, the adapted from the book of the same name with Jeremy Irons, John Malkovich, and Robert Carlyle. Yeah. This is like a dragon-looking turd.
Hey, Jeremy Irons, we loved you in Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, I mean, what the f*** happened to Jeremy Irons and John Malkovich?
What the hell? Jeremy Irons, hello! Remember when
Jeremy Irons and John Malkovich will do any piece of
Jeremy
shit
Irons
for a paycheck.
What happened to those guys?
What happened to the guy
they
that
know
was
that
in Dead Ringers?
They've got a shelf life.
Hey, John Malkovich, we'd love for you to be in this Con Air movie.
I guess they're taking notes from Michael Caine.
Yeah, Michael Caine. But Michael Caine's gained his respect back. He's doing good movies again. He did what he had to do.
Maybe these guys are doing what they have to.
Jaws 4.
Speaking of John Malkovich, Jaws 4, good lord. Okay, Children of Men made up for Jaws 4. I'm willing to forgive him for that.
Yes.
But
and
speaking
Batman
of
Begins.
John Malkovich, just recently there's a movie coming out called Color Me Kubrick, where I guess John Malkovich plays some insane guy that thinks he's Stanley Kubrick. And I watched the trailer, and I just sat there and went, what the hell is this shit? This makes absolutely no sense. I just don't understand.
Retarded.
Yeah, it was. Well, after the show, you need to look up Color Me Kubrick and watch the trailer.
By the way, Bill, our special Kubrick episode of Nowhere in Mulberry next month.
Oh, great. I'll make sure I'm taking a nap like Vanessa for that one. Anyways, if you want to pick up the 2-disc special edition for Aragorn, comes out on Tuesday.
I heard that it's basically a 15-year-old wrote that, right?
Yeah, some kid named Chris Paolini or something.
And he borrowed elements from every other cool thing he read. So basically it's just a bastardization of all of his favorite bits of other books.
Yeah, and what's really funny is the first book was like so good, supposedly, and then he came out with the second book and it's appallingly bad.
Yeah.
Like, ran out of ideas.
You
want
to know what the easiest, seriously, one of the easiest dramatic elements to put in any storyline, seriously, and it is in a lot of storylines that we love, it's the chosen one. The guy who is meant for this great thing to rise above the occasion to blah, 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 blah.
It's even more convenient whenever they have, like, a branding mark on them.
Yeah.
You know, that identifies them as what...
Oh, man, that's been done so many times.
You are the next dragon rider.
Dude, anyone can ride a dragon. Just sit in the freaking saddle. I don't have to have a freaking tattoo on my head.
Oh,
Dragon's Eye Rider, the ones voiced by Sean Connery.
Yeah, and first of all, the dragons have to have a name like Drago or something. Humans don't have names like Humo. It makes no sense, Steven. Christ.
I want to ride a dragon named Sydney.
That's a great thing.
How about... the next DVD Steven is one that you're definitely going to want to pick up, Jason, or put on your next, you know, gift time list. It's Justice League Unlimited, the complete second series.
Vanessa!
Where is Vanessa?
She's not here.
She's busy. This one is for Steven, because I know how much he loves
pants.
Beatrice Arthur. It's Maud, the complete first season.
Yes! Maud! Yeah, that bitch is hot!
I got nude photos of her.
Oh.
Awesome.
Oh, good lord, man.
Maud,
you want
quite...
some? You want some? Come on up here. Come on up, let's go.
Here's your nude photos of Maud, everyone. Come on up and get them.
Yes, Maud.
I like dogs.
Beatrice Arthur's saggy boobs.
Did she ever look feminine?
No.
No, I don't think she... I think, in fact, she may have a penis.
Well, here's another thing, okay? Think about this. When you think of women, like, I one day have my own TV show. I'm gorgeous and everything. Here's a chick who looked like a dude who got her own show. Anybody can make it in this world if they work hard enough.
Absolutely. If you, it's all these people have to do is look at B. Arthur.
Stay out of my closet.
Damn, I can do this.
Right.
Like, if you have, like, offset eyes, like, one's higher than the other one, or, you know, if you have a hunchback, it doesn't matter.
You could have
your own show. If
B. Arthur
made it, you can make it.
Exactly, Bill.
She's disgusting.
Well, we know what Donald thinks about B. Thank you, Donald. Next DVD is Jules Dassin's Naked City. Have you heard of Naked City, the Italian neorealism as American crime fiction film?
I want you to say thank you, Susan.
It's an incredibly pretentious film.
It's not funny, so...
I just have a problem here.
So you might want to pick it up.
Okay,
next
that
is
sounds
the...
good.
Yeah, The Nativity Story, which is Catherine Hardwick's own biblical epic. yeah, next. News Radio, the complete fifth season. If you don't watch News Radio in syndication, you might want to pick up the this fifth season, the season just after Phil Hartman is shot by his crazy-ass wife, and they bring in John Lovitz to replace him.
It was a little unstable there, but the show was still good. And I
but that was like, you know, it just felt so wrong.
And you know what's
And then
really...
they tried to work his death into the show.
Yeah.
And it was just so uncomfortable.
Wow.
It just really didn't work.
That's kind of...
It's a little, it's kind of, remember when John Ritter died during his show? And they wrote his death in the show and kept going for like a season?
And they brought in James Garner and David Spade.
And I love John Ritter. I love Three's Company, John Ritter.
Yeah, John Ritter. Oh, I love John Ritter in all the Billy Bob Thornton movies.
Yeah.
I mean, just, and then he did that series Hearts of Fire back in the early 90s of Billy Bob Thornton, just really good.
But I miss Phil Hartman and John Ritter.
Phil Hartman really is, I wish he was still around because
I love,
he would probably
he
be slapping some
radio.
Of his SNL alumni silly for the shit they've been doing.
He was a great guy.
Plus, he's always a great voice on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next DVD is quite possibly, I think, like the gazillionth release of Reanimator.
Listen to me for 5 seconds. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking.
You know what makes this one special? It comes with a highlighter that looks like the serum.
Yeah, nice. That's cool. That's pretty cool.
It's got audio commentary with director, producer. It's even got a commentary with Jeffrey Combs and the other actors in the film.
That's cool. I love Jeffrey Combs. He's great.
Yeah, so if you are a Reanimator film or Reanimator fan, which I actually am, I think I own the last release of this film, you might want to pick this one up if you don't have it yet.
Will do, Bill.
Next DVD is an important one. It's Rocky Balboa finally being released on DVD and Blu-ray.
Nice. Great film. Loved it.
You know, this film really kind of, it touched me. It's, you know, it's got its problems, but I got misty-eyed in some scenes.
Took a beating.
Is that a side of meat?
Yeah.
I love Burt Young and Sylvester Stallone bring it in this thing.
How much, I mean, seriously, it was a great film, and I can't wait to own it on DVD. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Rocky Balboa.
And that is DVDs for March 20th, 2007.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thanks for doing DVDs this week.
Thank you for letting me.
Stay out of my closet.
No, I love your shoes. They're sexy.
Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. You know,
the high heels?
It was the Care Bear thing coming back up. Sorry. I apologize.
Hey, how about that hockey game last night, guys? Yeah.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see.
Alright, everybody, that was episode 73 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening. We had a good time. Too bad Vanessa wasn't here. Happy birthday to her.
I completely forgot about her.
We will have her here next week, maybe.
I'm sure. I love that, the maybe.
If we can get her out of Eugene's basement.
Whoa. Shocking statement, Steven.
I think that's the lead door ceiling.
That's her pounding on the friggin' cage that she's in. Eugene has her locked in. All right, guys, if you'd like to send us some feedback, go to nowhereinmulberry.com. And we have a link to our email, which is nimpodcast@gmail.com. And we also have our voicemail number, which is 1206-202-3491. We also have a link to nimforum.com, where you could join our forum and talk to us about stuff, which no one is, apparently. Let me say it again, nimforum.com. It's our forum where you could join and talk to us about stuff. It's really cool. And also links to Mulberry Old School, all of our old shows, Steven. You want to go back and listen to the very first episode?
No.
There's this great part where Steven takes over when I have to answer the phone, and he talks about a helicopter crashing. I love it. Steven, you were a genius on that. I don't know why you knock yourself for that. I mean, seriously.
Hell, I'd put him on a newscast.
Is that... All right, Steven, you take over for a second.
Okay.
Never gets
let's
old.
See what else we have here in the news today.
Well,
a rescue helicopter has crashed.
The pain.
This is, again, going back to the... looks like a Coast Guard type.
A Coast Guard type?
Steven, you're doing the news next week. Wow. We're going to have this. Good times. So if you want to hear stuff like that, go to Mulberry Old School. You'll find it linked on nowheremulberry.com. I want to thank everyone for tuning in this week. Thank you, Eugene. I'll make sure to forward that message to Vanessa if she hasn't already heard that, being locked in your basement. Before we go any further, I have another email, a listener email. Just remember, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email, and I'll read it on the air. This one is from our buddy Paul Wong Pan. And it says, hello again to the guys, including Vanessa at Nowhere Mulberry. Thanks for another great episode of Mulberry, episode 72. He's listening to it this morning, he says, and he thoroughly enjoyed it. Cracking intro, by the way, kicked ass. Well, thank you for that. He says, 300 that you spoke about is a movie that I'm really dying to see. I've been hearing heaps about it, about how truly breathtaking the visuals of this thing are. Cool of you to be speaking about the movie. Man, I'm really excited about this and can't wait till it's released in the start of April. Sucks to be behind in Australia. Wow, he's from Australia. Pretty cool. Bill, should I read the novel before seeing the movie on this one for a better movie experience? I think he means the graphic novel.
It's hard to say, you know. It would be cool. I wish, you know, I think it would be great if I could have went in cold because it's just my sort of movie.
Yeah.
But I just loved the book. If you want to read the book, go ahead. It'll give you a great background. You'll be able to appreciate the art of the film much more because of the interpretation of the book and a lot of the scenes.
Right. I almost say you could go both ways. See the movie first, then read the graphic novel and be wowed by the graphic novel even. He also says, Bill, don't know if you've seen the latest on the Watchmen movie, another comic adaptation coming soon to be directed by Zack Snyder, but the screenshot of Rorschach looks freaking awesome. Yeah, we talked about that earlier in the show, and that does look awesome.
It does look cool. He snuck it into the R-rated trailer that they released just before the film came out.
He says that he really loved the original comic by Alan Moore, but he's a little doubtful the movie will be pulled off the same conventional way as other comic book movies. Yeah, us too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he'll hear all that at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. In his spare time, he's been trying to catch up on earlier episodes, and they're a great listen. Seriously entertaining and not as embarrassing as we frequently make them out to be. Well, that episode one was pretty bad. Knives and stabbing weapons, and one more thing. Tell Steven to wake up. Open your eyes, you crazy son of a bitch. Nice. Well, thanks a lot, Wongus. Keep on writing. Anybody? Come on, send us some stuff. We love it. We're attention whores. All right, guys, that was Nowhere Mulberry. See you next week. Laters.
Bye.
Bye. Pretty weak, Steven.
My closet.
Now this is podcasting.